to reap and a time to sow. Good deeds planted every day will grow and grow. Oh,
the Bible told me so.
Oh,
the Bible told me so.
This I know.
There's a time to laugh and a time to cry,
a time to live and there's a time to die. I know. Oh,
the Bible told me so.
Oh,
the Bible told me so.
Oh, the good Lord watches over everyone, morning, noon, and night. He made the moon and he made the sun so our future would be bright.
There's a time to reap and a time to sow,
a time to pray when the evening lights are low. Oh,
the Bible told me so.
Oh, the Bible told me so. Scatter flowers on the way where'er you go. Oh,
the Bible told me so.
Oh,
the Bible told me so.
This I know.
There's a time to win and a time to lose,
a time when everybody gets the blues. I know. Oh,
the Bible told me so.
Oh, the Bible told me so. Oh, the good Lord watches over everyone, morning, noon, and night. He made the moon and he made the sun so our future would be bright.
There's a time to reap and a time to sow,
a time to pray when the evening lights are low.
Oh, the Bible told me so.
Oh, the Bible told me so. Oh, the good Lord watches over everyone, morning, noon, and night. He made the moon and he made the sun so our future would be bright.
There's a time to reap and a time to sow,
a time to pray when the evening lights are low.
Oh, the Bible told me so.
Oh,
the Bible told me so.
This I know.
The Bible told me so.
This I know.
The Bible told me
so.
All of this, every bit of this is leading up to the fact that God's going to use Joseph later on. But we find that Potiphar's wife lied about it. Then when she told Potiphar that, he throws her into prison. Now he's been thrown into prison. Listen to me careful. Are you listening to me? He was thrown into prison for something he did not do. I want you to remember that statement, okay? He was put in prison for something that he did not do, for something that he was not guilty of. Okay? That is significant to this. So we find out the fifth thing that happened to him, he was falsely accused and imprisoned. Now look with me at the last one that we find out. Now he spends all this time in prison. Now here he is locked away in prison, forgotten about. Amen. And then one day, there's a baker and a butler that gets cast into prison, and they both have a dream. And you know how the story goes, how that they came to him and he interpreted their dreams. And he told the butler, he said, you're going to be delivered up in 3 days and you'll be restored to where you were at. And he told the baker, your head's going to be lifted off you and the birds will eat the flesh off of your body. That's kind of the way everything went. And it came to pass. Well, what Joseph told the butler was, when you get up there and he goes ahead and takes care of you and he restores you, he said, please don't forget me. And the butler said, okay, I won't. I won't forget you, Joseph. I won't forget you. But the Bible tells us that 2 years passed by. That butler got up there and got to enjoying life again and forgot all about Joseph. And so he went on his merry way. But 2 years later, now remember, here Joseph is in jail, in prison. I don't know how long he had been in there before, but here he is at least these 2 years now. 2 years have passed since that prophet, or since he interpreted the dream for the butler and the baker, and since he told that butler that he was going to be lifted up again. Now Pharaoh has a dream. Now this is the dream about where that there's going to be 7 years of famine, or 7 years of good and then 7 years of famine, and everything was going to come to pass and all that stuff. Well, that's the dream that Pharaoh had. And he spoke up and he said, "Is there?" And he was troubled, and Pharaoh was troubled. And he spoke up and he said, "Is there anybody in the kingdom at all that can interpret this dream?" And the baker, the butler spoke up and he said, "Whoa!" He said, "My sin is right in front of me." He said, "Lord, have mercy. I forgot about it. Boy, there's a man down in the prison that can interpret this for you." And he said, "Send for him." I want you to notice the last thing that happened to him. Of course, I've already skipped it. He was forgotten. Amen. He was forgotten. And you'll see that in chapter 40, verse 23. Read it there with me. In verse 23. "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." Now listen to me. Joseph had to make a choice long before this. You know what? I believe his mother, listen to me carefully. I believe his mother dying when he was a child, prepared him, or at least helped to prepare him for all of this heartache that was coming his way. Because I don't know that there's anything that could break your heart any more than losing your mother. Amen. And especially as a young child. And so that bound to, he probably looked back at that and said, "Well, this ain't nothing compared to that." And no doubt he probably used it. I believe that was probably something to help him, help prepare him for what was coming down the road. All this heartache, all this woe, all this trouble, all these trials, all this affliction that was going to be coming his way. I believe that was helping to prepare him, and it would help to keep him faithful throughout all of that. Amen. And we see here that the butler, the guy that said, "I'll be your friend for life, man. I'm going to take care of you. Boy, you wait till I get established up there. I'm going to call your name." And what did he do? He forgot him. Amen? He forgot him. The one thing that I hate probably worse than anything is for somebody to think that I forgot him. Because what that tells them is you really don't care. Amen? If I forget somebody's birthday, I feel like a heel. I mean, I really do. I feel terrible. Like, "You bonehead, what were you thinking?" And I don't even think about forgetting my anniversary. Amen. Say amen, men. Bob, that much I have learned. Amen. So here we see six different afflictions. Now, I've said all that to try to bring you to this. Don't you get a hold of this. Go back. Well, you've already seen in chapter 37, verse number 2, how old was Joseph when he started this thing? 17 years old. Look with me in 41:46. I told you I might do more teaching than I do preaching tonight. I'm just trying to give it to you what's on my heart. In chapter 46, or chapter 41 and verse 46, notice this. Now here's the point. Here's where we're at in the story. Here's where we're at in this account that was given. Now Pharaoh has had this dream, and he's called on Joseph, and he's brought Joseph out to interpret this dream, brought him out of prison. Look at verse 46. "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So he was 17 when the affliction started, and he was 30 years old when it ended. He was brought up. Hey, he's out of prison now, Kevin. He's not in there anymore. The affliction is past. You don't read any more affliction after this. You don't read anything about anybody doing anything else to Joseph. He's been lifted up. He's been brought out of prison. And now the affliction is over. It started at 17. It ended at 30. How many years is that? 13. Do you know what the number 13 in the Bible is? When you study it out, now I don't have time to go into it, and you'd be gone about halfway through the study anyway. So, but you study it out sometime, and I'll get you some references if you want it. The number 13 means the depravity, rebellion, and sin of man. That's what 13 stands for in the Bible. When you read it and you study it out, a lot of times 13 is significant. And it's always related, or most of the time, it's related and connected to the sin, the rebellion, and the depravity of mankind. Now, when I got to studying on this, because that's what really grabbed my heart when I was studying on this, I said, this boy was 17 when he started his affliction. He went through six different afflictions here. Amen. And six is the number of man, by the way. And so he went through six different afflictions. And then we find out that it was 13 years that he endured these afflictions. And then when I found out that 13 was the number of sin, depravity, and rebellion of man, I said, wait a minute! I don't see where this man ever sinned. I don't see where in the world this man ever did anything wrong. How in the world could it possibly be that sin, rebellion, and depravity is connected to Joseph? Because Joseph's life is a depiction, or a picture, if you will, of the salvation that was given to fallen man. Joseph, listen to me. Joseph, in those 13 years, was giving you and me a picture, if you will, of fallen man. He was giving you and I a picture of depravity. He was giving us a picture of sin. He was giving us a picture of rebellion. Amen. But listen to me. Every bit of that was not his own. It was all because of somebody else. Somebody else. Amen. That's the first point in the message that I want you to notice tonight. This suffering, was it Joseph's fault? No. It was not his fault. That's what I had to, I've got it wrote down here. I asked myself the question, is it Joseph's fault? No. It was placed on him at the hands of others. And so it is with fallen man and his depraved, sinful nature. Listen to me. I inherited my sinful nature from my daddy and my mother. And you inherited your sinful nature from your mother and your daddy. It's been passed down all through the ages from Adam and Eve, right on down through the camps, all through the years. It's been passed down to every single one of us. Look at the fifth chapter of Romans. Hold your place because we'll come back here in a little while. But look at the fifth chapter of Romans with me now. Romans chapter number 5, and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see that? For until the law was in the world, for until the law, the sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse number 18? He said, but he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That simply tells us when we look at Joseph and we see him in all of his affliction, do you know what that tells you and me? That tells us that we were placed in this position and it was not your fault per se, but you're there. Where it wasn't my fault, per se, to end up in that place. Now, listen to me carefully. Please don't cut me off. Because I know some of you say, oh, Lord, have mercy. He done went off a deep end. He said it ain't nobody. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you're born into it, and there's not a single thing you can do about it. And what we might as well do is say, hey, you know what? I'm born into this thing, and I got to do something about it. Amen. Now, listen to me. Here Joseph was in prison, and doing all of this suffering at the hands of others. Now that's the type of Christ. Yes, sir. Amen. You and I, we've been placed in this sin's prison. Amen. We've been put in sin's prison, and it's not your fault. It's not my fault. We're just here. Amen. And we're just condemned unto death. We're condemned to die and go to hell. Yes, sir. Because of our sinful nature. Amen. Now stay with me because I'm not done yet. Please stay with me. Don't leave me now. You leave now, you're going to leave half-cocked and you ain't going to get the whole message and you won't understand it. None of this suffering was Joseph's fault. And we realize according to the scriptures right here that this sin is passed unto all man because of what was done in the Garden of Eden. Joseph's life and his affliction is a picture, a type of that. Amen? That's where 13 comes in. Amen? Now, God took how many chapters? 13 chapters. I don't think you'll find anywhere else in the Old Testament where that God took that many chapters to explain somebody's life the way that he did in such great detail. When God was creating all the universe and the earth and the moon and the sun and everything, he didn't spend 13 chapters doing all that. But when it came to Joseph and Joseph being a type of Christ and he was going to use Joseph to explain the salvation that has come down to man, he took 13 chapters to do it. And 13 is the number of sin, depravity, and rebellion in the Word of God. Amen. Let's let that sink in now. Hang on to it. So we find out, as a type of Christ, Joseph did not suffer for his own depravity and rebellion, but because of the sin of his brethren, and, listen to me, for their redemption. He suffered for their redemption. Now, as Joseph, my next point here, as Joseph was in prison and could do nothing to help himself. Listen, could Joseph do anything about his plight? It wasn't one thing he could do about it, was it? He's stuck in prison, and in and of himself, there's not one thing that he can do. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's not one thing that you and I can do to help ourselves. Oh, yes. That's right. I said it. There's not one thing you can do. If the Holy Ghost of God doesn't start this thing, and if the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come and knock on your door, there ain't one thing you can do. If the Spirit of God ain't dealing with you, you don't get saved. Now, we know He's going to deal with everybody at one point in time or another. But that's how we get saved. But did you bring it on? Did you cry out to God and say, "Oh, Holy Spirit, come and deal with my heart"? No, you didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't have anything to do with it. God dispatched the Holy Ghost and said, "Go deal with that heart." And gave you and me the opportunity to be saved. Amen. Neither could Joseph. Even as Joseph could not do one thing about himself being in prison to get himself out, nor can you do one thing. I'm going to tell you right now, this is a doctrine that is enriched deeply, deeply in people's hearts. Yes, sir. In religions. And people are trying to do everything they can to make it to heaven. They're trying to do this, they're trying to do that, they're trying to do this and the other, and they're trying to get good enough, they're trying to make this profession and make that profession, but if the Holy Ghost of God ain't doing it, you don't get Him. Amen. And if it's not God moving upon the heart of man, then it's useless. And now we've got people that are making professions after professions. They'll join the churches. They'll start this and start that and quit this and quit that. And they equalize that to salvation. It's the furthest thing from it. Just as Joseph could not help himself, nor can we help ourselves. We are helpless. I didn't say hopeless. I said we're helpless. Amen? We're helpless. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Verses 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This tells us where we used to be if you've been saved. And if you ain't saved tonight, it tells you where you're at right now. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, get a hold of this, and of the mind, and were by nature. You couldn't help yourself. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I couldn't help myself. You couldn't help yourself. It wasn't a thing in this world you could do about it, Kevin. You're lost without God. When we're lost without the Lord, listen, there's nothing we can do in and of ourselves. We can't come to God and say, oh, well, if the Lord God is not dealing with you, it ain't going to happen. But we need to get that down. Because I'm telling you what, this good works doctrine is spreading like wildfire. That's why people are joining the churches. That's why people are linking up with this and linking up with that. And these so-called preachers ain't got enough backbone to stand up in a pulpit somewhere and tell the truth, the unadulterated word of God, and tell people they're dying and going to hell. And that $30,000 they want to give the church ain't going to help them a bit. Amen. They'd be better off keeping that money and getting saved, amen, for the glory of God. Amen. Listen to me. But thank God that was not it. Amen. Besides all that, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But listen to me. Ask yourself the question, and I'll ask it to you. Did Joseph stay in that prison? No. He didn't stay in it. I want you to get a hold of this. Joseph was put in the prison by Potiphar. Potiphar was a captain of the guard. Yeah. He was just like a low guy down here, down on the bottom. He just had a few men that he looked after, and he was way down the list. And he owned a few slaves, and Joseph was one of them. Listen to me. He was put in, that's a type of man and mankind, and that's a type of the sinful nature of man. Yeah. That's what put him in prison. Yeah, but you know who got him out? The Pharaoh, the king. The king delivered him. Huh? The king came along and delivered him out of it. Praise God, that's shouting ground. Amen? Amen. He was put in by sinful nature and put in by somebody else, but thank God the king came by and delivered him out of it. The king needed something from him. He said, hey, I got a dream. I want you to interpret. He brought him up out of that mess. Amen. And we find out. Let me read it to you. I was going to read it to you. Genesis 41. You don't have to turn back. I'm just going to read it and come right back to Ephesians. But in Genesis 41, 14. I believe I'm right on that. Yeah. 41 and 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out. They didn't fool around, did they? Brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Boy, you always get changed when the king comes along. Amen. It'll change you. Oh, yeah, it'll change your appearance. Amen. He didn't go wallowing up there with a long, shaggy beard and looking all nasty and grummy like he was before. Hey, when he went up to the king, they put some new clothes on him and shaved him and made him look good and cut his hair and got him all smelling good. They weren't going to bring him before the king like that. Amen. I like this in Ephesians. We just got done reading 1 through 3 in chapter 2, but look at verse number 4. But God. Now, Joseph, we could say, but Pharaoh. Okay? But here for us, it's but God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now what would it have been if this, now here's where a lot of folks are at tonight. Joseph is sitting in that prison, in that dungeon. The guy comes to the top, however it was. Hey, Joseph! Joseph, the king wants to see you. Pharaoh wants to see you. And what would it have been if Joseph had said, yeah, tell him I'll meet him later. I got a card game going on right now. Tell him I'll be up there tomorrow. I got a few things I got to get done. Now listen to me. Joseph wasn't sitting down in this prison with shackles and fetters and all that. He was really, for a prisoner, he's living it up. He's having a good time as far as being a prisoner goes, if a prisoner could have a good time. He had been exalted inside of that by the gatekeeper, if you will, the warden of the prison warden. He was there and he was looking after everything. So, he wasn't sitting over here in the corner just bleeding to death. Amen. But when the call came, he answered. Amen. When the call came, he said, "All right, it's deliverance day. You better believe I'll stand in front of the king." He jumped up and went up there and got cleaned up. Did what he needed to do. Amen. Stood before the king. And we read right here, even as you and I were in that sinful nature, we were locked in sin's prison. We were locked away. We'd been forgotten. We'd been thrown away. We'd just been afflicted. And been, the devil done everything to try to destroy us and tear us down. But thank God one day the call came from glory. And the call came and God said, "I want to see you." Boy, we better thank God for the day, the night, the morning, the hour, whenever it was when God dispatched the Holy Ghost of God. And so I want you to go to get so-and-so and put your name there. Whenever the Lord Jesus said, "Go get so-and-so, go get so-and-so, go get this one or that one or the other," we better thank God tonight for the day when that dispatch came from glory, amen. And God said, "That's one of mine. I want to get him, amen. I want to deliver him out of the prison, amen." Amen. Are you seeing it now? Are you getting it? Are you putting it all together now? You see, I'm not off my rocker. I just wanted to go into this thing a little bit deeper. Amen. And let you see what God's doing with Joseph. Potiphar put him in prison, but Pharaoh brought him out. Amen. Sin and shame put us in prison. But Jesus brought us out and give us victory and exaltation.
Every morning, noon and night, two can gladly dare and